Greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who has risen from the dead, the one who has won the victory, the one whom we have come to worship, the one whom we have come to celebrate. On this Easter Sunday morning, let us rejoice and be glad. I do hope that the service will be a blessing, that it will stir your hearts, that it will cause you to sing, and that it will indeed renew you in the faith. Or, if you have never come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, that might happen for you today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we join together with believers, with churches throughout our community and throughout the world, who this day are once again acknowledging and recognizing the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that he is alive. And we're so grateful that we can be a part of that great company, that group of witnesses that can declare in song, in the word, in yes, indeed, that he is alive and that he is at work. And so we come this morning just trusting that you will be stirring our hearts in this service, and you will be drawing forth praise from your people. So may you be glorified and lifted up throughout this service, throughout this day, and throughout our lives. For we pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we've come here today, from this past week, having a variety of life experiences. I guess it's always the case. We want to acknowledge today a particular happening. We need to acknowledge that one of our church members went on to be with the Lord this past week. I would invite you to take this time to reflect the life of Dwight Jacobs. He was 99 years old when he died this past Monday on April 6th. We are blessed having known him. We are blessed that he was a part of our congregation. And we join together in extending our sympathy to Eileen Stewart and the family, to Stan Jacobs and the family, and trust that the God of all comfort will indeed comfort them during this time. Let us continue now in our service to sing, Oh, Praise the Name. Join in.
To Calvary.
Lord, we do praise you. We do rejoice in you. And we do also acknowledge that we are people that are daily in need of you. And especially during these challenging times, we again call upon your name and we lift before you the entire situation, not only in our country, but around the world that is affecting so many lives and so many people. And Lord, we pray that you would exercise your sovereign headship and lordship in regards to all that is going on. And through it and in it, yet many more people would call upon your name. But we do pray for our leaders and our government officials, that you would grant them wisdom and guidance and direction. And we pray that you would help us as the church to be the body that you want us to be, the people you want us to be. Lord, we pray for those who are working in hospitals and the medical community, even from our own church, that you would guard them and keep them and be with them in a special way. And Lord, we want to lift before you right now individuals like Eldon Whitmer and Tracy. Tracy and Sally, who are dealing with the virus and in various stages of recovery. We pray that you will touch them, that you will be with others in our community who are even now hurting and hospitalized and in various stages of sickness. Lord, please be with our shut-ins and those caring for them. Please be with those that are struggling perhaps because of financial loss or things that they are dealing with in their situation or in their business. And we just pray that you would continue to work to provide and that in all things that you may be praised. So we are grateful, Lord, that we can continue to call upon you and trust that you will guide us in doing so. And during those times when we don't know how to pray for as we ought to, that your Holy Spirit would pray for us with groanings which cannot be uttered according to the will of the Father. So thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before the sermon, we again have an opportunity to be blessed with one of the Getty music videos. So be blessed.
He frees our hearts to live His grace. Go.
We'll be clapping after that one, should we not? You know, Easter has become my very favorite day of the year, and it's not just that it's less commercialized than Christmas, it's not just that it's easier on the pocketbook than Christmas, it's not just that it involves less gatherings and functions and that kind of thing than Christmas. Easter is my favorite day of the year because of the resurrection and all that flows out from that. So, this morning, I'm opening the Bible to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. And the title of the message is quite simple. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Ah, there we are. Did you hear that? He is risen. Risen indeed. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren and go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now the first thing I want to make note of is quite simple yet very profound. And that's the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now I realize there are folks that claim the entire thing was a hoax, coming up with all sorts of crazy theories. But rather than me getting into some of the things that the skeptics would advocate, let's review what the Bible tells us was the case. In chapter 27, we read how Jesus died on the cross. In verse 50, it says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. On down in the chapter, it tells us how a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body. Pilate consented to his request. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in a new tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. And after that, there was a large stone that was rolled against the opening of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary saw the body of Jesus being put in the tomb. The next day, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive how the deceiver said, after 3 days, you know, I will rise. It's in verse 63. And so because of that, it was ordered that the tomb be made secure, lest, you know, the disciples pull a fast one here, lest they come and steal the body and say to the people he has risen from the dead. And so Pilate directed them to make things as secure as possible. So they sealed things up. They set a guard in place. Now, was Jesus crucified, dead, and buried? Yes, he was. But the tomb could not hold him. Death could not hold him. The stone could, and the guard could not hold him. Nothing in the world could hold him. Yes, hallelujah. It was in God's plan that Jesus would rise again on the third day. And that's exactly what happened. On Sunday morning, when the two Marys came to the tomb, there was an incredible thing that took place. There was an earthquake, and then there was an angel of the Lord that appeared on the scene. What did the angel do? The angel rolled back the stone from the door, sat on it. It must have just been absolutely incredible. It was so out of the ordinary that the guard shook for fear. But then the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Now, if you're on the church mailing list, then this past week you had mail. And in that mailing was a wallet-sized card. It's the one I'm holding in my hand right now. And if you happen to have it close by, perhaps some of you do, grab it. Say with me the three words in large print. Jesus is alive. And say with me now the verse that's printed there, Matthew 28, verse 6, from the New Living Translation. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. You know what we just did? We just confessed with our mouth one of the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He said, If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What difference does the resurrection make? Well, it makes all the difference in the world. Our God is not dead. He's alive, and he's at work in the world today. And he extends forgiveness and salvation to people who by faith trust in Jesus. He is with us. Hallelujah. Well, the second thing I want to highlight this morning is this. The fact that Jesus had risen from the dead brought or was to bring great joy. You know, we often have special events that focus on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, but we rarely focus on Saturday, the Saturday of Holy Week. What do you think it was like for Mary Magdalene and the rest as they went through the day following the death and burial of the beloved one? What all were they thinking about? What all were they pondering? What all were they feeling deep down within their soul? But then, Sunday morning, things changed dramatically. The angel of the Lord told the women to go and to tell the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. So, notice again verses 8 and 9. They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Now, have you ever experienced something that was emotionally charged? Actually, I need to rephrase the question. Have you? How recently did you experience something that was emotionally charged? Have you ever felt like you were on an emotional roller coaster? Of course you have. It's part of the human experience. In fact, my guess is that the phrase, they went out with fear and joy, is one that most of us can identify with quite well right now. Recently, isn't it so, the anxiety level for many of us spiked considerably. It was one thing, for example, to watch news reports of what was going on in certain parts of China as COVID-19 began to emerge, and we hadn't even known that term previously. And then it seemed so distant when those initial cases surfaced in Washington State. After all, that was thousands of miles away from here. But it's quite another thing when we have updates from Mahoning County and Trumbull County and Columbiana County that are scrolling around the bottom of our television screens, is it not? Having moments or times of being fearful is nothing new. In the passage we're looking at this morning, the guards shook with fear and became like dead men, verse 4. And then the women who were dispatched to tell the disciples that he was risen, that Jesus was risen, went quickly from the tomb with fear. But as we've already noted, there was more than just fear. According to verse 8, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. These women weren't able to text or to send an email or to use this calling system that I've been doing a lot of these past number of weeks. I can just imagine them going lickety-split, making sure that they didn't stumble. Perhaps catching their feet along the way. Or perhaps needing to catch their breath as they were running. They would have been so very excited. Isn't it so? Now, I don't very often go back to the Christmas story at Easter time, but I'm doing it today. When the shepherds were watching their flock by night, what happened? There too was an angel of the Lord that appeared on the scene. And the angel, the glory of the Lord, it says, shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And then according to Luke 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And then the angel went on to explain, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So think about it now. The coming of Jesus into the world brought joy. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead brought joy. And the presence of Jesus in the life of a believer brings joy. Notice again what was said in verse 9 of our text. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying what? Rejoice. And so they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. Would not the word of Jesus to the women on that resurrection Sunday be God's word for you and I today? Would not Jesus say, rejoice to those who are pondering the implications of the resurrection? And should we not then respond like the women did as they worshiped him? Some people might consider it strange to think about rejoicing when we are on lockdown, when we have stay-at-home orders, when we can't go to work, when we can't meet up with our classmates in school or do things socially. Or we can't do many of the things that have been so part of our lives and so much a part of our routine and things that we really like, we really enjoy. But the call to rejoice, we need to realize that this call to rejoice is not contingent upon our circumstances. The call to rejoice is contingent upon our relationship with the risen Christ. We rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice that a Savior has come. We rejoice that we have come to know Him. We rejoice that our name is recorded in heaven. We rejoice that Christ won the victory over sin and death. We rejoice that we have become more than conquerors through Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We rejoice that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus. Well, let's move on to a third thing. Yeah, you know me so well, don't you? I tend to have 3 points often. Let's consider the fact that Jesus said to the women, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Immediately after the women held Jesus by the feet and worshipped him, we have this recorded in verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Sometimes there are things that startle us or scare us, but then it's over with. So a couple of weeks ago, Jim Cox and I were out here in the lobby. Yes, we were social distancing, but we were talking after the recording of the service, and it was storming outside. We were aware of that, but all at once there was this loud crack. It was like it was right outside the door, and I know that I literally jumped, and I felt the muscles in my neck tensing up. Not always are the things that frighten us over with that quickly. One time, the disciples were out on a boat. Yeah, Jesus was with them and they were out there. But while Jesus was taking a snooze, there was a storm that came up. And it was so tempestuous that the waves and the water were coming up into covering the boat. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then it says, he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. According to Matthew 8:27, so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who can this be that even the winds and the waves or the sea obey him? When we recognize who Jesus is, then we recognize that he has authority and power. And in that particular instance, Jesus changed the circumstances when the disciples called upon him. In Mark's gospel, it says that Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. That's in Mark 4, verse 39. Now, the Lord doesn't always change the circumstances, however. Not even when we call upon him. Sometimes he changes things by speaking peace to our troubled hearts. Has that ever happened to you? You were getting really uptight. You were feeling troubled. You were feeling anxious. Perhaps you were fearful. You were distressed. But then you began seeking the Lord in prayer, in praise, in worship, in the Word, in thanksgiving, in obedience. And then it happened. You realized that the Lord had spoken peace to your soul. There was a peace within. On one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's in John 14, verse 27. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The account that we've looked at regarding the resurrection of Jesus, yes, it's historical, but it's not just something that we think of in historic terms. It is also for our day and for our time. It has life lessons. It has good news for us. Let us rejoice in the fact that Jesus is alive. And let's seek him that he might speak peace to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this account that is recorded in the scripture, that we can not only be mindful of the facts concerning the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, but that we can also gain inspiration for our hearts. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to ponder these very things, that you would indeed evoke rejoicing and praise from us. And Lord, for those who came to this service this morning deeply troubled, we pray that you would speak peace to their hearts. a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we pray that you will continue to work in our community, in our lives, and yes, around the world. In the name of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, join in and sing. The words for He Lives are going to be on the screen. And now may hope in the risen Christ sustain you. May faith in the risen Christ strengthen you. May the joy of the risen Christ radiate in your lives today and in the days to come. Go in the peace of new life. Amen.